Hey everyone, this is Jeff.
This is Warriors.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, episode 81 of the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet.
The best.
This is the official show for the month of July 2017, in which we're going to talk about some news and new releases and also preview some games coming up in August. And there's not a whole lot going on, so we'll take any random tangent you guys feel like going on. It's totally fine.
Okay.
But we'll kick things off with a little bit of news, a few things to get to here. Dragon Quest XI was officially confirmed for North American localization. So if you're into Dragon Quest, there it is. This one is, it's subtitled Echoes of an Elusive Age, continuing Square Enix's tradition of absolutely nonsensical subtitles.
But they all start with vowels.
It's true.
Even the of.
Yeah, that's entirely comprised of vowels right there. And also just like very hard vowel sounds, echoes of an elusive age. All the emphasis is right there in the beginning.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's coming to PS4 and 3DS. It's also to Switch, but they have, like, I believe it's out already in Japan for 3DS and PS4.
How is an age elusive?
Right.
And how does it create a sound? Echoes?
Right.
It
has enough resonance to create that echo, but elusive.
There is no time frame that's even hiding. It all exists. Time runs in this sort of linear fashion. You can't be able to pinpoint.
It's right in between the Industrial Age and the Renaissance. That's where it is. Can't be.
I think what they really did was, alright, we're going to need this age, but we need to describe this age.
We need an adjective to go along with.
Get the head of verbs.
Adjectives.
Just reach in.
Adjectives.
Whatever. I'm tired.
Part of speech.
Yeah. Echoes.
Get the adjectives.
Of an elusive age.
So, is there really like a sound mechanic in the game?
I have no idea. I have not been paying much attention to Dragon
you
Quest.
You're a Dragon Quest super fan.
I am in an abusive relationship with Dragon Quest. I'm trying to avoid it.
Yeah, you had the tattoo on your chest that says so.
Uh-huh. Yes, right after they started like doing those DS remakes.
This sounds like the kind of game that probably doesn't even have dragons.
It's probably called Dragon Quest, and it's not a single fucking
game. You're not doing much questing either. You're running a shop.
There's a wyvern. That's what you're
getting. So there's some really big lizards. There's dinosaurs.
There's a Gia monster. This is all you're going to get.
Also coming to Switch, RBI Baseball 17.
Wonderful.
Yep, very cool. I have nothing to add about this game. It's a baseball game. It's coming to Switch.
Nice.
But one other...
Are you going to play it?
No. No, I don't really...
You like baseball, but...
But I don't really like sports games.
I mean, you were a big fan of that Japanese baseball game we played recently.
Oh, yeah, the one where he kept losing 14-0.
Because we couldn't understand how the game worked.
It was confusing.
I feel like we kept getting worse at it, though. I mean, I certainly kept getting worse.
Well, I was getting better. We were burning out our bullpen.
You know, what we should have done was got, like, a YouTube thing out and watch somebody play it in English.
Yeah,
I don't think
so.
It was
we
ever,
could see what it was.
I would be stunned if it was ever localized. Mm-hmm. Is the thing?
No, just someone that has played the game enough. There's probably some desperate American out there that has played this game, where they're just like, "I will tell you in English how to play this game."
Yeah,
in Japanese.
I'm sure there's an enthusiast audience for this game. Like, they're super fans. For
it's gonna have like probably 100 views, and it's 5 years old. But it's like there's one guy that really plugged away at this for a long time, and he's like, listen, I'm really good at this game.
It's funny, you're describing exactly my YouTube videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 100 views at best.
Oh, really? Well, what's your topics, though? I mean,
X-Men.
You... Okay.
Of course.
It's not that obscure. I feel like it's X-Men material.
Yeah, I feel like we're underperforming here. But anyway. So
what if I gave you some fanfic that I wrote?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah, that's all we need from you.
Mostly
right.
Of a sexual nature. I hope.
That's okay.
More fanfic. More people having sex with raptors.
As long
on spaceships.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't involve Jubilee, I will not talk about Jubilee.
Oh, that's fine, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. She immediately dies. I write her death off in the first paragraph.
Horribly.
No, it's usually like everyone's really thrilled, and they're like, "That's a spot."
When was the last time Jubilee was in a comic?
She is actually in the current run of Generation X. She's in that series.
She
was also
do?
In. I haven't read any of the.
I
think
still
there's
don't
only
really
like
grasp.
Issues.
She cooks.
Her
house. Somebody's got to
She
make
shoots
food.
Fireworks out of her.
Now I'm not too familiar with where Jubilee is at this point, but last time I was reading about Jubilee, she is currently depowered. She doesn't have her powers on her. She's also a vampire. So I don't know
of
if that's
course.
Something that they have fixed or if they're going to fix that in Generation X, because she still does hang out with Mucus. She also adopted a child. She found a baby. And I was raising it, which that kid is totally fucked. There's no way it's going to have a normal life.
She's just like, wear this duster.
I I mean, Jubilee with or without powers, I mean, you really could just fix that by tying two Roman candles to your hands. I mean, that's just all you gotta do.
Yeah, she's the worst.
She's fixed.
The absolute worst. Like, going to keep you mildly amused for 2 minutes. That's my power.
These are sparklers. You know, eventually they burn down and hurt like hell.
She's the distraction every single time. Go distract them. She does it. They don't care. Like, take your top off, dude. It's like, oh, okay. There it is.
But she was also in, there was a run of X-Men.
And her power is she has boobs? Is that what you're going for?
I think so.
Everyone has that power in comics, all the women. But in 2013, she was in a run of X-Men. The book was just entitled X-Men, and it was the all-girl team.
Creative.
And yeah, she was in it. Well, at the time...
The X-Men are all women.
Oh, it is like EX-Men?
No. No, just X-Men.
No, fuck it.
Is there a mutant who had sex changes?
No, I mean, it's like, because, you know.
We were once men, we're not now.
Well, because I feel like that's kind of clever. It's like ex-people, ex-ladies. I don't think that's not, sounds like it's kind of condescending.
I don't know.
You know?
I would probably argue that there have been more, like, if you take a cumulative time of the X-Men across all teams, they've probably been led by women more than men.
Yeah.
Because the major leader of the X-Men is, of course, Cyclops. And there's a stretch of time where he wasn't around. There was a stretch of time where he was around. But
I thought that would be Professor X.
Oh, God. Professor X is never around. Fuck that guy. He's always off doing something being useless. But...
He's also like Dumbledore. Because Dumbledore is like never fucking there when Harry needs him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he's just always aloof and kind of fucking off. The whole time.
And then whenever they finally fix the problem and they save the day, he shows up and goes, yes, that was my plan all along.
Yeah.
Thanks!
Thanks, appreciate it.
My intention for you to nearly die.
but anyway.
Actually, I was also playing Jubilee to die more, but alright.
So who does the X-Men series condescend to most, if not women?
The reader?
Oh, no. I mean...
Yeah.
I don't particularly, because even since like the late 70s and early 80s, it's always been a pretty positive book toward women. It's like, especially what they do with the character Jean Grey, like turning her from Miss Useless into like the most powerful one there.
Yeah.
Storm was
very
important.
The school's named after her now, which is nice.
Yeah, indeed it is. The leader of the X-Men through a lot of the 80s was primarily Storm.
Yeah,
I mean... There have been some very important, like, and like going into like the late 80s, which is what I'm getting into at this point, like a lot of the team is women. You got Storm and Rogue, Colossus.
Fan favorite Marrow.
Rachel Gray, Kitty Pryde. And then once you get into like the real late 80s stuff, one of the only men on the team is Longshot. And who cares? Like, fuck that guy. No one likes Longshot. He has super luck. Like, that's his mutant ability.
What?
Right.
Super luck, that's right. Just like the Pokemon ability.
Like, things just sort of work out for him. That's his...
that's
a power, I suppose. But also, like, the new mutants throughout the 80s, and we're way off on a tangent here, the new mutants throughout the 80s is mostly women, with Danielle Moonstar and Karma and Ileana Rasputin, and Rain, the two men on the team, it's Cannonball and Sunspot. Mm-hmm. And neither of them are very good. They're kind of boring characters. You do get, like, Doug Ramsey a little bit into the run, and his mutant power is he understands the language. So he's not very good either. Like, the men on the team are just...
He's C-3PO, essentially?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. The men on the team are just kind of dorks.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's very, like, female-positive series.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Video games. So you've heard of the NES Classic, yes, and the Super NES Classic.
Those are things.
We're all familiar with those. Yeah. Well, the Super NES is a thing in concept right now.
They make trading cards. Nintendo does, correct?
Yes. Yes, indeed. But Nintendo filed a trademark that could point to the possibility of a N64 Classic.
I would hope that they would line every. I would hope that they are currently like copywriting a Switch Classic.
I would hate to think of somebody else getting games. You want to see on the N64 Classic?
N64 Classic, I would imagine, is going to be a lot of first party stuff, because a lot of the other high profile N64 games are things that are probably in licensing limbo. Things like GoldenEye,
Quake,
You're not going to see StarCraft 64 on the N64 Classic. But, like, in a lot of the rare stuff, like Banjo-Kazooie and Perfect Dark, like, that's all stuff that's going to be property of Microsoft right now.
Are they going to have Star Fox on 64?
Yeah, Star Fox, the Turok. Zeldas.
I saw cartridges of that the other day.
I think Turok, I think that might be another rare game, question mark, maybe. I think you might say Dino Crisis. I think that's a Capcom game.
I just hope, because what they did with the first two is they released the controllers that are just like the originals. I just hope they release the N64 controller with the Classic that doesn't suck balls.
So the reason that this rumor has popped up is because Nintendo filed a trademark with the European Union Intellectual Property Office. And the trademark that they filed was for a N64 controller. That looks exactly like an N64 controller. And they did the same thing with the NES Classic and the Super NES Classic. They filed the same trademark.
Fuck.
So that's why people are thinking that this is indicating a possible N64
Just fix the joystick. That's all they gotta do. I'm okay with everything else. I can live with it if they just fix the joystick.
I think the joystick would need some work, because that is definitely the most fragile part of
and
that.
And also the most uncomfortable.
Bear claw of a controller. Well, it's weird because you end up just holding it in the weirdest position. Because you're not holding it at the edges, you're holding it like on the right edge in the middle. Because the D-pad becomes useless.
Yeah, it's like you always think that there should be a sense of balance with them. Mm-hmm. Like you want to have equal balance between both hands, and this one sort of forces you to hold the middle and then use the side, so it sort of, and then contorts your hands at an angle because you want to maintain that pose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's wonky. I also feel like it's going to be really shitty when we're constantly bringing up how bad the controller is.
You know
how much we don't like it, because we should be talking about the N64, and it's going to be the first thing that we bring up every 30 seconds of talking about anything with the
N64. Right, like how are we holding this damn controller?
Yeah.
But, I mean, this could end up being nothing. Like I said before, they did the same thing with the NES and the Super Nintendo Classic. I'm kind of leaning towards this might be nothing. They might just be following this trademark in order, like, if they do want to do it at some point down the line. But they just don't treat their N64 library of games with the same reverence as they do the Super Nintendo and the NES. So just kind of based on that, because like you look at the virtual console services, and a lot of this is a symptom of like having licensing limbo for a lot of these games.
Mm.
You don't see the same breadth of software. They also don't get as experimental with the software they put on virtual console when it comes to the N64, because you don't get like the N64 equivalent of a Breath of Fire or a Demon's Crest. You don't really see the obscure N64 stuff. You only ever see the dozen or so heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it is possible. I probably put it like at a 40% probability, because I feel like doing a 50% probability is just a push. And I'm going to take a side here and say that it's more likely that this won't happen.
Yeah.
They're just covering their bases.
Well, it's also, that was kind of when their reign ended. They were like,
sure.
The main thing. Like, Super Nintendo was the jam. Everybody was like obsessed with it. And then N64 comes around, and that's kind of right when,
PlayStation
comes out.
Yeah.
And then
that was the clear winner of that generation.
Dreamcast is not that far after.
Dreamcast, 99. N64 came out in 96. So
that's a bit year. Yeah, it's a few years.
But it's not like a full generation difference between the two.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dreamcast wasn't really long for this world either. So
the best game that came out on Dreamcast was what? Crazy Taxi?
Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
I'm going to be a troll and say Sonic Adventure 2.
you would. Resident Evil Code Veronica.
Oh, okay, Code Veronica is so fucking good.
We just
I
named the four
game.
Games that came out for this.
Soul Calibur. The original
I had
Calibur.
One. Oh, Power Gem.
Power Stone.
Stone.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Rez.
Seaman.
Yeah.
Ooga Booga.
Oh, God.
What was great is that was a mobile.
Sonic Shuffle! Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for 20 years to talk about that game, which is before the game came out.
Well, the game is so the console was so pirateable, which was nice. That's
sure.
What I remember better. Because I had a Dreamcast back in the day, and I just had this big stack of just burned games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, man, this is so easy to just make all of the games I want right now. So I did it. It was great. And Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is the fucking jam. It's maybe the best way to play it, too, because It's the controller that makes the most sense, because you're constantly tagging. So each trigger is a tag. And it just... Because I think if I remember correctly, the default control setup on a PlayStation 2, if you're trying to play Marvel vs. Capcom 2, they want you to use your right buttons, both right buttons.
Like the shoulders?
Yeah. Or... those are supposed to be your two tags, and that doesn't really make sense, because you got to remember who's one and two. And the other one's sort of like a left-right mechanism.
Hmm, I wonder why they wouldn't just keep it as like a left and right shoulder button.
I think it's
like the closest facsimile you get to a trigger on a DualShock.
Yeah. So, that was... yeah, I think the Dreamcast is the way to play it.
Hmm. But anyway. So, N64 Classic, we'll see what happens. First, let's just try to get our hands on a Super Nintendo Classic. That's where it's at.
Is it August they go...
September. End of September.
Okay.
Yeah, September's going to be a busy month. That's going to be a nice month to preview when that comes around. August has a couple of games coming out, but it's the major one is right at the end of the month. So we're going to have a little bit of a lull here in between Splatoon. And
should we just lock in our SNES classics so that we can barter them for a Nintendo classic? As someone that has a pretty deep catalog of actual Super Nintendo games.
Maybe, just to get one of those NES classics. There is actually... I haven't checked within the last several hours to see if they're still available, but ThinkGeek had NES Classics available over the last couple days, but as bundles. And they're selling like these bundles for $150 to $220 because it comes with like all these other like little tchotchkes, like books, like these NES-centric books, and just like little like knickknacks.
Well, I actually got a set of amazing, they're pretty crass, but they're these pin-up pint glasses of Mario characters, and they're all, like, slutty Hispanic women. It's not really graphic or anything. They're just, like, kind of classic.
Provocative.
Yeah, provocative, the pin-up look. And, they each kind of look sort of like them. You've got Mario and Luigi and Toad, and then I forget, Yoshi? One of them is, like, even dressed like Yoshi. It's
provocative cool. Yoshi. Yes,
but, like,
there we go.
If you were throwing that... I mean, hey, she looks all right. If you were to throw, like, all of those in a set with the Nintendo Classic, I think it would be pretty cool.
Sure.
Like, it'd be kind of fun to have.
If they had, like, a bundle that was, like... God, I just... because this thing, like, retailed for $60.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the minimum bundle price was $150, which I just... I want one of these things. I wish I had one. But it's hard to justify dropping that much for me personally, you know?
So I went to ThinkGeek.
Yeah.
I found that bundle you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
But I did find this Switch bundle.
Oh, yeah?
It's Switch with the Breath of the Wild.
Uh-huh.
And the board game Legend of Zelda Clue Edition.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing with these ThinkGeek bundles, is they bundle it with, like, the most random garbage that you're not going to want.
You don't want the Clue Legend of Zelda?
No, I don't. I do.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I know it was Ganondorf. It's going to be Ganondorf every time.
Legend of Zelda Electronic Ocarina of Time. It's a electronic...
It was Ganondorf in the Temple of Time with the Ocarina. That's who did it.
The Ocarina.
With the Deku Nut or something.
Right, yeah, that's even better. So, and anyway, speaking of Switch, one last little news tidbit here. Nintendo sold a lot of Switches and a ton of games during quarter one 2017. This is something that's going to be talked about on a lot of different podcasts. Nintendo sold a lot of games and made a lot of money.
I'll take eight.
There's going to be a bunch of different podcasts talking about that over the next week or two, so we're not going to delve into it too deeply.
So they're making a ton of, they're basically printing money, I think.
Yes. They're
That's good.
There's a lot of video games being sold.
Well, didn't you say that it was like a 1.1:1 sale, or like ratio of sales on Zelda, the new Zelda?
Yes, they had
to the console itself.
They'd sold more games than they did hardware, which it has, now it's evened out. Now they have actually sold more consoles than they have copies of Breath of the Wild.
Everyone's pumped about Splatoon 2.
Oh, yeah, Splatoon 2 is doing great.
The Game Theory guy did a funny video about Splatoon 2.
Oh, yeah?
Talking about whether or not the character you portray is a squid or a human, or, like, what is the ratio of the two.
Hmm. How do you land on that?
It was in the background, so I only picked up parts and pieces, but he was basically saying that it is... because this is set in a post-apocalyptic world, apparently, from, like, nuggets of details built within the story, that they are most likely, almost entirely comprised of squid.
Okay.
And that the squid is the more stable animal that's likely to survive.
Okay.
I don't know. I remember, again, you probably have to watch the video to get all the details.
Well, let's move right into new releases here, because Splatoon 2 is one of the two major new releases that I wanted to talk about.
He did get me wanting to play it. That's the big
thing. It is really cool. Like, it had been quite some time since I last played Splatoon 1, I don't remember liking that game. I think I might even like it more. And a lot of that is just because of the form factor of the console. Like, this game works surprisingly well in just the handheld mode.
Yeah.
So, like, I haven't delved into too many of different modes. So I'm going to be talking about, like, Salmon Run, probably on the mini show, which is, like, the horde mode of the game. But I've just been playing, like, your basic Turf War, which is just your basic online mode. Whoever covers the most territory at the end of the match wins.
Mm.
And I, of course, play as a roller because I am no good at shooters. I am terrible at this game. Like, so to put this in perspective, the game came out a little over a week ago at the time of recording here. I'm at level 11. So, you know, I'm doing all right. I'm putting in, you know, a little bit of time every day, gaining a level here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, we're recording on a Sunday. Last night is Saturday night. Dad wasn't home from work yet. It was a little bit after 10. The kids were in bed. I was watching, like, an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000 or something. I was drinking cranberry juice. I don't know why I'm going into this much detail about my life
right now.
Have you
been watching the new Mystery Science Theater?
I have. It's
season?
It's pretty good.
I like it.
It's not bad.
I'm getting, what is the word for it? I'm losing momentum with the series is the problem.
Hmm.
Like, there have been a lot of funny episodes. I'm just kind of getting a little burned out on it.
Sure. Sure.
It is, like, every single one's an hour and a half long.
Yeah. But, you know, the sort of interstitial stuff that they do, I find is a little bit more amusing.
Oh, very
than,
good. Yeah, they actually did a really good job with, all the cutaways and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a constant reminder that, like, the guys that have to do the voices also have to be the characters on
right.
the other end of it.
Right.
It's really, really nice. Oh, Patton Oswalt's amazing.
Yeah, Patton Oswalt's amazing. He's really good.
Yeah.
TV
son,
so,
TV's friend.
That's good. But... So I'm playing.
So you were drinking a crayon apple for
so,
your.
Yeah. I was and it's like, hey, I'm gonna jump into Splatoon. It's like 10 p.m. on a Saturday night, so I jump in there and the first match that I end up in, I'm at level 11. Everyone else in that match is at level 20 or higher. It's like, oh god, I am seriously outgunned here.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I'm not good at shooters. I'm not good at this game, which is why I play as a roller. Because as a roller, you just have a gigantic paint roller, you run with it in front of you, and you just paint the ground in front of you. It's a good way to cover a lot of ground. It's very hard to get kills, and it's very easy to be killed. So I, for the most part, am avoiding conflict altogether.
Yeah.
And I've come up with some pretty decent strategies with this thing, because one of the things that I love to do the most when I'm not completely outmatched, like I was this time, is I will take a minute, and I will paint everything around the base. I'll make sure that, like, my team's side of the field is pretty well covered, and then I'll just make a beeline for the enemy base. I'll try to, like, find a workaround, see where the conflict is, avoid it altogether, and start painting the back of their base. And what that does is that forces them to pay attention to me.
To contract, yeah.
So then I just start running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I'm, like, ducking behind things,
though.
Just trying to avoid being killed. Meanwhile, I'm allowing my team to push forward.
I was going to say, it's actually a really clever strategy. You're kind of forcing them to course correct to address you. It means they've got to contract back into their own base to take care of you. I would think the other strategy would be, like, if it were me, just spitballing would be, like, where did we just kill a bunch of people? Like, where is the conflict? Where did we just actually take advantage? Like, if you see a couple of your guys drop, then it's like...
Yeah, that,
again, this is just, like, first-person shooter tactics stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the game really plays that way. I understand that there's, like, rollers are good value for covering turf, but they're... If your opponents are just snipers, they're going to kill you.
Right. See, that's the thing. It's, like... You need to end up on a team with some balance.
Yeah.
Because if you're on a team with, like, I ended up on a team once with three rollers, and I was like, oh, we are fucked.
Yeah,
because we're able to cover a lot of turf, but we're also very easily killed and easily avoided. So we ended up just getting slaughtered that much. But the same can also be said if you end up on a team with a bunch of snipers.
Range shooters.
Yeah.
Where they can't apply much paint, but
right.
they can stop an opponent, but
so
they're not covering their own ground. Then.
So I ended up on a team where we fought a team of three snipers, and we got killed a lot, but we won by a wide margin because we were just able to cover a lot of ground right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, that's just kind of like luck of the draw most of the time. And I think one of the things people complain about in this game is when you are playing with a group of people, you are unable to adjust, like, change your weapon out in between matches. To do that, you have to, like, leave change your weapon, and then try to re-enter a different match. So you can't really adjust your tactics in between matches there. You have your weapon, and that's what you have to stick with unless you want to abandon that group you're with and risk not being matched up with them again.
True.
To me, it doesn't make a difference because I play with one weapon, so I don't care.
Yeah.
But...
Well, if you want
to I can see like that's something legit. Like hopefully they do address that in some sort of update, because it's been a complaint since the first Splatoon.
It's like lax team balance.
Right. And I can understand like not allowing people to change weapons mid-match, because the matches are only 3 minutes long. Hmm. Now these are real quick and snappy and chaotic. So just let the match play out, better luck next time. But like just letting people like If you're playing with a group and everyone's a sniper, like, okay, I'm going to switch out and not use my sniper rifle. I'm going to be a roller. I'm going to use, like, something more automatic.
Hmm.
I don't know. But, like, the online has worked really well. Like, the matchmaking has hardly ever been an issue. And...
Sherlock's making a fuss.
Yeah, he's being a little shithead. He's trying to, like, roll up the carpet and lay out, like, a blanket.
Hmm.
But the... The other mode that I've been playing a lot of is the single player mode. And the single player mode is, you know, I wouldn't call it like robust, like a Mario game single player mode. But, you know, it's got some cool levels to it. I think it's got like a total of 5. There might be a 6th like surprise world at the end, but I haven't gotten to that yet. And there's like 5 or 6 stages in each world. So, you know, it's got a good amount of levels. And what it does is it lets you do different things that you wouldn't do in a multiplayer match. Like, there's different obstacles that you can work around and use, like rails you can grind on and platforms you fill up with paint to expand. So they bring this element of platforming into it that doesn't exist in just your standard arena matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having fun with it. It also forces you at certain points to use different weapons. So you start off with like just your standard like handgun. And you get to use a roller at a certain point. There's also a bucket that uses just a bucket of paint, and you fling it, and paint comes out of it.
That's very creative.
It's a funny little weapon. I don't like it, but, you know, I like one weapon, so I'm not particularly a great judge of how good it is.
Yeah.
Actually, there is another weapon that I like. There's a weapon in single-player mode, and I think you do eventually... You're able to get one in the multiplayer mode stuff, too, at a certain point, because you unlock weapons as you level up. But it's they're called dualies. They're just dual automatic pistols. You have one in each hand.
Nice.
And the really cool thing about it is that you actually get like a dodge when you're wielding these things that you don't get with other weapons. So you can just like roll to the left.
Sounds
or
like
right.
Sounds like a John Woo film.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, you can like you can perform these maneuvers that you don't get with any other weapons. And I'm not quite sure what the disadvantage is yet. I guess like. When you are in like the enemy color paint that's on the ground, it slows you down, so you can accidentally like dodge into enemy paint and just give yourself a disadvantage on your terrain. But I don't know, it seems pretty cool so far, pretty useful.
Yeah.
That's like the primary weapon that I try to use going through single player mode.
Well, I used to play a lot of Counter-Strike, and that was a thing. Is like if you were a terrorist, you had an option. It was a super expensive set of pistols that you could get. They were dualies. And it was sort of a show betters maneuver. Like if you yourself were a very good player and you were just stockpiling resources and you already supplied the rest of your team with the guns that they could possibly want, then you just stroll around with the dualies just because you're that good.
It's kind of strut.
Yeah, I mean, and then the thing about them is that they're actually clever because they had one of the fastest fire rates, but also very accurate. But the more shots, the more inaccurate they become. So
it is
very much a showboat. Thing. You kind of want to, like, your game's out of hand already, and you're just kind of like, we're going to fuck you over. And you're just trying to sneak around and get kills with dualies. You know? And that's, I mean, and again, if there's a dodge mechanic, I feel like it probably is, like, literally like a John Woo movie. That was his whole thing. Is like, you know, the Chow Yun-Fat, or even, like, the modern ones he would do, you know, where it's like, everybody always found an excuse to have two guns. You know? It's like, and then they've done that breakdown a million times, where it's like, no, one pistol that you are... accurately aiming and firing will be 1,000 times better than you just running around like guns akimbo, like you're some kind of fucking rock star.
That just makes me want to watch Hot Fuzz again.
Yeah.
Ever fired 2 guns while flying through the air? No. Ever fired 1 gun while flying through the air? No.
Is it true that there is a point in the skull that if you shoot it will explode?
Ah, that would be so good.
Yeah,
anyway, so yes, I'm really liking Splatoon 2.
Yeah.
The only reason I didn't like play over the past day or two was because I got distracted by Hey Pikmin, which is the 3DS game that came out just a couple days ago. I have been playing a bit of it. I am in World 3, which I think there might be 9 different worlds in this game.
Huh.
With like 4 or 5 levels each, so it seems like it's a game with quite a bit of heft to it. So just kind of early impressions here, I suppose. I have red Pikmin, who are immune to fire, blue Pikmin, who can swim, and yellow Pikmin, who are immune to electricity. And I also just encountered the rock Pikmin for the first time.
Are there dragon Pikmin?
Not that I'm aware of.
Is there a fairy-type Pikmin you have?
There are pink Pikmin who can fly, but I have not encountered them yet. So they're introducing new Pikmin, you know, at a pretty... Not a slow rate, but at a rate that I'm pretty sure it's only the core.
Is delicious?
Orange Pikmin would be delicious, but I think they're just sticking with the core 5 here, which are the red, blue, yellow, rock, and the flying Pikmin or pink.
What if a red Pikmin and a yellow Pikmin had a baby?
That would be an orange Pikmin.
Yeah,
but Pikmin are very racist creatures, so they wouldn't do that.
Really?
I have no idea.
Like the sleek stars.
They don't
mix
races.
Well, see, the thing
if
is,
a red Pikmin and a yellow Pikmin walk down the road holding hands, they're just going to get shit for everybody.
I think that... Hey, let's get serious.
Let's get serious.
We're going to be told...
This is dark.
Pikmin is a very
dark... Someone's just like, race traitor. It's like one of your four right there is like, hey... Thanks, race trainer.
Here's the other thing, is that the red, blue, and yellow Pikmin, so this is like Pikmin 1, have all had different facial features too. Like red Pikmin have noses, and the other ones don't.
Uh-huh.
Blue Pikmin have gills, like little mouth gills, and the other ones don't.
Yeah.
Yellow Pikmin have ears.
They control the banks.
And Hollywood, right?
You got the yellow ones with the ears, yes. So...
Oh, God.
But anyway, Pikmin, like, don't breed with each other. They harvest the carcasses of their slain enemies and turn those into their progeny.
That's fucked up.
It's just a fucked up game.
I never really played
but
this
then they, and then after that, they do that as a community. Then they separate and go their own way. The yellow on this side. And
well, they'll definitely fuck each other. But that's not how they breed.
Oh, that's just for fun.
Yeah.
I thought this was just one of the weirdest mechanics of a character in Brawl. Now I'm like, I think maybe I'm a Pikmin.
I kind of want to do this. I want to harvest corpses and
just fuck all the people that look like me. This is going to be great.
Most American game out there.
Yes.
Most American game.
Pikmin might be Nintendo's darkest game. But anyway. So
how big are Pikmin? Like relative to a human.
Oh family? No, they're tiny. Like you actually see like
you can eat them live by the handful?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because Pikmin are because Olimar is not a human being. Olimar is
a tiny
alien.
Guy.
And
he's like the size of Mika.
He's a bit bigger than a Pikmin. But he's also a terrible pilot because he keeps on crashing his ship. Although at the beginning of this one, he's hit by a meteor storm, which he should have avoided, but anyway.
Oh, it's like how in Star Trek, they're just burning through Enterprises constantly,
yeah.
And yet Picard is still allowed to be a captain.
If you or I had his track record of destroying ships,
right,
we would not be in charge of fucking anything.
If I were a truck driver. Anyway,
yeah.
So... If he were part of any sort of military organization, he'd be relegated to a desk job.
Oh, totally.
So, like Pikmin, like you see like these artifacts of humanity scattered through like these different planets that he also encounters Pikmin on, and like you'll see like in Hey Pikmin, there's a cartridge of Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Link's Awakening for Game Boy.
Yeah,
and it's the DX cartridge because it's black, but it's like this like. You have to have like 6 Pikmin to carry it
because
they're that tiny.
Mm.
But so this game is
is
different from other Pikmin games because Pikmin 1 through 3 was about, first of all, time management. You had like this arena that you're working through and you use your different Pikmin who have different skills to open up more areas of that arena that you're in. And you have to like manage your resources effectively, your resources being the Pikmin creatures. The more you have out in the field, the more tasks you can assign them to do.
Your slave workers are
They are unpaid, yes.
Yes, it's terrible.
I justify it because they're not people, they are vegetables. Would you pay a turnip to do your laundry for you? No.
Does it cry when it dies? I would.
Oh, it absolutely does. They cry when they die, and you see their little Pikmin ghosts floating upwards.
I think that's someone that deserves a paycheck. Yes. When they get some shore leave, I hope they're having fun. Here's $10.
Yeah, other than the constant orgies that they're clearly having.
No, that's not, the things are all right then.
You could fuck all the corpses you want.
Oh my god. What was that? Oh my god, I can't think of the book series. There was a great sci-fi book series I read where they were putting, the idea was, Old Man's War. It's a great sci-fi book where, sort of, when you reach the age of like 80, if you live to 80, you get recruited into this government program that doesn't explain, and then they basically just say, you get moved into this, and it doesn't really tell you what happens to you after that. It's believed that you're going into space and looking after stuff. What they do is they actually transport your consciousness into a superhuman body. So it would be sort of like you go into a body that is like what Captain America becomes, like when he's just normal dorky Chris Evans dude into this. And like the first thing that and the survival rate is very, very low once you actually get put into this and sent into space to go fight, because you're basically going off to war. For colonization purposes, I guess you could say.
Oh.
But they're basically given a month of just time in their body to be around other people that just had this exact same thing done to them. So what are they doing is just fucking nonstop. Just like, imagine if you
before they get sent off to war?
Yeah. Okay. Just to like kind of get it out of their system to be like, hey, we gave you superhuman bodies. There's women too. Why don't you go to town?
Are they superhuman women?
Totally, yeah. It would be like, you are now Captain America, and you get to have sex, like group sex, with 5 Wonder Womans if you feel so inclined. I'm crossing Marvel and DC, but it would be like the same wonderful experience.
Carol Danvers.
Yeah, there you go.
Captain Marvel.
So, this is, by the way, it's not just about that. It's a really, really well-written book. It's great, great pulp sci-fi.
But there's at least like 3 chapters dedicated to that, right?
Yeah, well, it's heartbreaking too, because like the guy is expecting to go into it with his wife. And she dies at 78 by a sudden stroke. And he's like, we were going to die together. Or like, we were going to go out together. And it's sort of like...
In war?
Yeah. Or they didn't know. They didn't know. They just knew that if they hit the age of 80, they were going to be recruited into this program. Because when you're 80 years old, I think you're kind of dead. I mean, it's like...
you might as well die.
People talk to you like you're dead.
Yeah. So your life is kind of... You've had a good run.
That's
and
absurd. I don't talk to anyone over 80.
You're on,
what I said is correct then. You talk to them like they're dead. You're not talking to them.
They're on borrowed time is how you feel.
They're on borrowed time.
So, yeah.
Every day is a blessing.
Yeah. So, their minds get put into the superhuman bodies, and then you sort of get another run at life. And when the life of this thing is extinguished, say you are on a spaceship that blows up, then that's the end of your consciousness. So, it's sort of like you don't live forever. You just kind of move from this...
So what happens on the off? Like, do these superhuman bodies that you get put in, I assume they age. What happens if you keep on living?
You eventually can retire, I guess, of sorts. So, like,
if you make it to 80 again,
you just put you right back into it.
It's the farthest I got in this, because it's a 4-book series, and the main guy in it is a recruit, and he befriends 4 other recruits. One of whom he develops a really fucked up relationship because. While it is a different person's consciousness, it's put into a body that resembles his dead wife. So he just sees her in the mess hall and is like, oh my god, it's my wife. You're alive. And she's just like, no way. Like, it just like fucking beats the shit out of him.
What if your wife gets put into a man's body?
Accident? Like somebody like... Someone fell asleep at the console.
Does the author have a panel at some sort of con soon? I have questions.
That doesn't happen. No, but there's like, I mean, there's... So he befriends these 5 people, right? And they're 5 different, like, very different people. And one of them is like, he's bisexual. So like, he's having these orgies with men and women. And he's going off and he's having all this stuff. There is apparently as much fun as you want to have sex with. You can have sex with this story. But it gets to the point where it goes into a more grizzled military story where they actually have to get sent off to war, and they shared this chat thread, essentially. It's like a comm link thread that they have with each other, and it sort of notifies them when they die. So like the first one goes out in this really beautiful fashion, and it's just sort of like the shared moment where it was like we were all alive together, and then one has a really poetic ending And it's the first one that they are reminded of that, like, hey, we are on borrowed time. This is it. You know? But then there's other ones where it's like, he's as dark as it is. There's some of it's really funny where he's like, this is the fastest recorded death we've ever had from like a point of attack to a ceasing of consciousness. Where it was like this one guy was like, they were encountering this other like crazy.
He was like the first guy over the trenches.
Yeah. No, the
first guy that hopped off the boat in the Trojan War.
the first stormtrooper out of the gate. That guy always dies.
Yeah, same yeah, Private Ryan. The gates are down and the sniper rifles are coming. Yeah. No, this guy is like, he's very peaceful, I guess. He's like, he wants to be diplomatic. So they encounter this tribe or something of just crazy little aliens. And he runs up to them and he's like, guys, we're not going to fight. We're not going to fight at all. And then every single one of them just lifts up their staff, and apparently in their staff is a bunch of needles that explode, and they, like, pocket, like, 10,000 needles into this guy, and he just explodes. And they're like, wow, that was fast. It's
like, that was really escalated.
They start, like, measuring everyone's...
And then all the other pacifists around him are like, all right, let's kill them.
Oh, yeah, it's a wonderful book series. I don't know the author, I can tell you, but Old Man's War. People should read it. It's a fucking wonderful
series. I'm adding
it
to my list, because you know what kind of a reader I am.
It's not Brandon Sanderson.
It
ain't Brandon Sandy. And
I don't have any Brandon Sanderson books on the table until freaking November.
Oh, no.
That's when the next book comes out. I'm reading other things. Like, right now, I just picked up...
Instruction manuals, even.
Oh, great, we're going to get a whole...
No, I picked up... by fucking... Oh, God, what is the guy's name? Because the movie's coming out, so I thought I would reread this terrible
book. Ready Player One.
No. Oh. Well, that too.
Dark
Holy
Tower.
Crap.
Stephen
that,
King.
That's it, Stephen King. I thought I would reread Gunslinger. You know, to see when the movie comes out, see how closely they do this. Because that series, the Dark Tower series, is like a 10-book series. So I don't know if this is supposed to be... like just book one, or are they trying to take care of 10 books?
I don't think
in
we should care. It doesn't look good.
I'm gonna see it. It's gonna suck, but you know.
Is McConaughey in it?
Yes, yeah. He's the bad guy.
Oh, that's right. He's bald, isn't he?
He's not bald.
Are you sure?
No.
Am I thinking of Rain of Fire again?
You might. Maybe.
Okay.
Is he hawking Cadillacs in this one?
Maybe. He's wearing all black. He's dressed the same. He's got the same costume as the Lincoln commercials.
Yeah.
But that Ray Player One,
it's not kind of like, you're right. It's like it's,
that Ray Player One preview does look.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped.
I'm so pumped about that.
That does look
so
cool.
So pumped.
I thought, yeah.
But yeah, but I thought I would reread Gunslinger to get ready for this movie. And
how's it going?
I haven't started yet.
I had a coworker.
I can't bring myself to it because I don't remember anything about the book because it's been years. I don't remember a thing. All I know is he's wandering around this area. Some kid shows up at one point. I got nothing. But I do remember I did not enjoy it at all.
I've been reading X-Men.
Yeah. Well, I have a coworker that worked through the series, and that's kind of what he said. He's like, the first few books, they're fucking amazing, but then they're kind of just hits this point where it's sort of like a... And I think that's what Stephen King said, is that he kind of rushed the last few books just because he simply wanted to complete the project.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't want it to be one of those...
He lost interest in his series.
You're like, fuck, how do I get done with this?
What a fucking asshole. Well, no. I think from what he said, and I believe him on this too, from his point on it, which was just sort of like, what if I wake up tomorrow and I get hit by a bus and then everybody's wondering what I was doing with this series? He's like, I actually have a big grand scope in mind.
That's going to end up...
Let me just
like the,
get it done.
It's going to be something like the Wheel of Time situation. What's his face died.
Mm-hmm.
And it got finished by other authors.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe you get hit by a bus, but you compromise your life's work because you might die?
That
you're not familiar with Stephen King. If you
with that mentality...
he wrote 3 books this month.
With that mentality, Patrick Rothfuss better hurry the fuck up because I wanted to finish that damn series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Kingslayer series.
God damn.
But Hey Pikmin is a game.
But Hey Pikmin's a game.
And I am playing.
Oh, that's right. We're talking about that.
Yeah, we're talking about that. You eat the dead and you fuck.
This is great.
Nintendo endorses this.
They've made 4 of these games. And apparently there's another one on the way. But this game is a little bit different because what we were talking about was that how the previous 3 entries were these more strategy games where you have to like manage your time and your resources to complete your tasks. This one is a 2D side-scrolling, much more of a linear action game. It's not really a platformer, although there is some platforming involved, but it's less about managing your groups and multitasking and more about just working your way through some light puzzles to the end. And so far, the thing about the Pikmin series is that you have these different colored Pikmin, which have these different abilities, and you have to set them on appropriate tasks. And you're often managing five different groups of Pikmin.
Well, you said one is like immune to electricity, mm-hmm. so like there would probably be some sort of scenario that's set up where there's a big like electric spark thing that they got to walk through.
Right.
Probably
right.
like, you know, a battery line around or something,
sure.
right?
Yeah, that's how the yellow ones work. Yellow ones can also carry bombs in the main series. In Hey Pikmin, any Pikmin can carry bombs. But anyway, bombs are like these natural occurring things, like in Zelda, bomb flower plants. But in Hey Pikmin, I have not yet encountered a mission where I get more than two different color Pikmin. So the complexity of the things that are going on is not great. And by that, I mean there's not a great volume of complexity going on.
Like, but essentially, it's a bunch of confined puzzles.
Right.
So is this kind of like, this is a weird comparison, but is it like affordable space adventure? Where you've got mechanics you need to balance and control and
it's,
not upset certain things in the game?
It's such a good game.
Yeah, it really is. It's not as complex. There's not as much to balance because you're only working with two different colored Pikmin, so you'll only ever have to manage... I have this group that is immune to fire and this group that is immune to electricity. I have to send these ones over here to turn the switch so that the rest of them can cross this pool of lava or build a bridge or something.
Does it still have like a timer, like get done with your crap till night?
No. Now, these are isolated levels. And the levels will take... And see...
That's another thing. Pikmin can't be out at night.
It's true. Like, well, that's when all the dangerous creatures come out.
Shit, it's the fan.
But there are enemies that you kill. You do not harvest their carcasses to spawn more Pikmin. What happens is when you begin a level, you begin with zero Pikmin, and you find Pikmin throughout the level. You can carry, you can have with you in your troop up to 20 Pikmin. Whereas in the mainline game, you can have 100 Pikmin with you. So, again...
I feel like this started as, like, a really dark game. Like, you're a necromancer.
Oh, it absolutely
You're a necromancer that fucks the corpses.
Yes.
And they're like, let's reskin it and put some plants in there.
Well, see, that's the thing is, when Pikmin 1 was being developed, Miyamoto, who is the primary captain of this series, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
was really into gardening. So it all became very much about plants. But it very well could have started out as a much more gothic, I suppose.
Oh, no, that's the front. He's like, this is what it's about. And it's like, you don't know that
he has
stacking corpses in the back of his...
And then Miyamoto comes like, what if they're vegetables and they're fighting ladybugs? Like, what does it look like then?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, all right, whatever. And they made it. But you don't nearly have like, you don't have the time.
They're still harvesting the dead though, right?
Yeah, oh, of course.
Oh, okay, no.
That is a literal mechanic in the first three games is when you defeat an enemy, you have your Pikmin pick up its corpse and carry it back to their little spawning pools. Well,
oh, spawn pool. Yeah.
They're, well, you have your spaceship, and the Pikmin also have their little onions that are their spawning pools, and the enemy gets sucked up into the spawning pool. And then seeds of Pikmin get sprayed out.
Yeah.
And those become your new troops.
It's probably something more along the lines of, like, Alien. But they could do it in Dead Body. You know,
maybe.
The little face hugger comes up, does
yeah,
his thing.
Yeah, it's kind of the idea.
It
propagates itself through.
Yeah, through the body, the thing grows, and then, you know, seeds.
Hmm.
Like, you know, instead of just soil, it's, you know, Dead Body.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That reminds me, I watched that movie Life, because...
Oh, I've been wanting to watch the Jake Gyllenhaal thing.
Yeah, it's Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds.
I have not seen it.
Who's
though.
The female lead? No, I can't remember.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Good stuff. Do you like it?
The first half was actually pretty tense. The first half
was
fun.
Was it,
and then it's derivative of Alien. They discover this alien, they have another ship.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the first half, while being derivative, actually managed to be really tense. It was pretty good. And then the second half just, like, became just so completely derivative that, like, I lost interest in the premise because I knew what was going to happen. So, and then like, there's like, this little twist at the end that you see coming a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. But, Hey Pikmin, like, I expected, like, I played the demo, and I expected to not like this game. Like, I went into it being like, I didn't really like what I played in the demo. Most people are saying that it's okay at best.
Why do you buy it anyways?
Because I already had it pre-ordered and paid off.
Oh, okay.
It got delivered to me through Amazon.
Wait. There's something about that sentence and paid off.
What?
That seems weird. Like,
what do you mean?
It's a video game. Do you not pay off? Like, I'm only.
What are we talking about? Well, you don't have to, like, when you order something on Amazon, when you pre-order on Amazon, you don't have to put anything down.
Really?
No, you just say, I would like this, and it charges your card when it's delivered.
Oh, so you paid ahead of time.
Right, I just paid it in advance. Whereas, if I hadn't paid in advance, it would just charge me beforehand. But it was already paid for, so I didn't get...
I bought my games at a store.
How plebeian. Jesus.
Like, you know...
I buy my cartridges at thrift shops.
I mean, that seems like the better route. I gotta find a close used game store for retro stuff.
The body of homeless people.
after you kill them and
spawn them. And throw my Pikmin in.
I'm actually trying to think. The last time I actually bought like a physical... I buy games online. Like, I buy games through Steam and stuff like that. But I'm like, I think the last time I actually went into a store to buy a brand new game that just came out. You know, or not just came out, but just like any new game.
I can't remember the last time I bought a new game. Like it just came out. It's $60.
Mm-hmm.
Take my money.
I have never paid $60 for a game. Never once.
Yet.
Well,
there's probably going to be some obscure RPG you want.
I take it back. I've paid more than $60 for a game. It was the Xenoblade Chronicles X Special Edition.
Mm-hmm.
So I stand corrected.
The truth comes out.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah,
it's your greatest shame. That 20% Amazon Prime discount, dude. Like,
yeah.
Best Buy actually has a really great gamer club program too. Since we're plugging Amazon, but there's not a Best Buy close to me, so
yeah,
I'm not gonna drive.
What's their thing?
You get like 20% off, and then like you also earn points for something.
Hmm.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. But Amazon delivers, man. So.
I actually had an Xbox. So, like, I was going through this stuff that I had, and it was a bunch of old gift cards. And I was like, I got these gift cards. They are sitting around. Some of these are, like, 2 years old now. And I'm just like, I got to fucking get rid of these things. So, some of them are actually pretty easy to do. Like, I had an iTunes card. What did I do? Convert the iTunes card into Hearthstone packs. Easy. Easy peasy. Target cards. Go to Target. Buy shit at Target. Publix. Go to Publix. Buy amazing... chicken tender subs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I had an Xbox card. Somebody, I guess it was like, I think...
Do you own an Xbox?
I don't. I've never owned an Xbox. And I'm like, the fuck do I do with this Xbox card? And I was like, all right, I'll just go... Because, you know, it's like with the iTunes, right? I can get an iTunes card and I can buy Hearthstone packs. I don't have to buy songs iTunes. There's a lot of purposes. And I was like, so Xbox probably has something I can do with it. And I go to the Microsoft store and, like, literally... It's very limited with what you can buy if you don't own an Xbox.
Hmm.
I ended up buying a wireless optical mouse.
Okay.
It's like
so
delivered to my house. I'm like, okay.
Now I have this.
Is it good? Like, was it like a nice one? Like,
it's not weighted or anything. It's fine, but it's good for like to like not have, because I have one that actually has like the actual weights in it. That's built for gaming, like, so you actually have more heft to it. This one's just sort of like a cheap plug and play USB thing.
Yeah.
So I can put it in my you know, laptop book bag thing, and it's no big deal if it gets squished or something.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, so if I talked about the stuff Hey Pikmin doesn't do, how it's different from the main series. Like I said, I expected to hate it. I don't hate it. I think it's okay. I'm gonna get into some more thoughts. Like, maybe I will end up hating it as I get further into the game.
Like a breaking endorsement.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't hate it. It's okay.
It's okay. It's more like, it's okay. You know.
So is there like anything that the Pikmin series can really hang its hat on? Like, I mean, yeah, most recent Pikmin's games suck, but Pikmin 2, that was the fucking jam.
Pikmin 1, 2, and 3 are all really fucking good games. I think Pikmin 3 is really, really good because of the touchscreen controls that you can use on the Wii U. You use the Wii U gamepad. It's much more intuitive to controlling your Pikmin. Pikmin 3 was also really great because while you have like a day-night cycle, so you have a time limit, you don't have a limit of days. Like Pikmin 1, you had to beat the game within 30-day cycles. Pikmin 2, you didn't have that cycle either. But Pikmin 2 is a little bit more aimless. Pikmin 3 strikes a nice balance because while you don't have a limit of days, you have a limit of resources. You keep having to find fruit because the fruit is your food. If you run out of food, you lose. So there is that incentive to do some food hunting. Anyway.
So the Pikmin eat fruit, but they don't eat the dead carcasses that you're constantly hauling back to the ship.
The Pikmin don't eat the fruit. The captain characters.
Oh, he's a vegetarian, so he'll rather starve to death than just eat something. Eat meat.
I suppose. I don't know, maybe they can't digest meat. They're a little alien species. We should check the game theories on this. But anyway.
Can't just grab one off the ground and just like rip it. The eyeballs
are the same. Yeah, the Pikmin are, you know, plants. Yeah, that's, you know, edible.
Why would you eat your workforce that you don't pay? That's stupid.
Well, you know, it's better than starving to death.
Spoken like a socialist.
So, the thing that Hey Pikmin does well is that they make these levels. They have like little collectibles that you can find, and they're not really tucked away in really complex places, but it's fun to go through a level and try to discover all the secrets that it has. Some of the levels have secret exits that are fun to find. Like, it's such a light, breezy game. There's not really much to dislike at this point. The thing that I could see, like, maybe something to dislike is that, like, maybe if it gets too repetitive or if you never get a level of complexity that is interesting, like if you're just stuck to two different mechanics per level for nine different worlds, I could see that wearing a bit thin, but we'll see what happens. Then we'll know. But also out this month, there's some quick hits here. Blub Boy came out on the Switch on the 6th. This one is an obscure game. I only bring it up because it's an adventure game like a Stick It to the Man on the Wii U or a Myst. If you want to go back to like an old school. Like,
okay.
So this one is definitely on my radar. I do want to pick it up at some point.
I loved Myst, even though I didn't know how to shut doors.
I really like those old school point and click adventure games, and I like that they sort of like continued living on, even though it's not really so much a point and click. But like the sort of adventure games where you have to like collect items and use them in certain places to solve puzzles, that's what they've sort of become. So
I'm trying to think back. Did you come over to my house specifically for that puzzle, or were you over there for another reason?
I don't remember.
Because you're the one who got me through that puzzle on Myst.
Yeah, you just close the door, dude. Just gotta click right there. And the elevators don't work if the doors don't close. Which I can see a bit misleading, because every elevator you've been on, what do? The doors close by themselves.
Yes.
But anyway, Metal Slug also came on the Switch on the 6th. Kirby's A Blowout Blast came out on the 3DS on the 6th as well. And then on the 25th...
I was just actually watching a video
about
the guy that created Kirby. Like, he created it when he was like 19 years old.
No,
he's
how
all
high on shrooms was he?
They were all high on shrooms in the 80s, come on.
I think so. He was a gardener, like you said. I think that's probably the thing he was growing with shrooms. But not the same
who
guy.
Who did create Kirby?
Well, it's also the guy that was the creative developer for the Brawl series and the Smash.
Oh, Sakurai?
That would be the guy.
Masahiro Sakurai? Yeah. Did he create any of them? Yeah, he was at the helm of the Kirby series for a while.
Yeah, again.
Anyway.
Maybe he just like developed the games. But at any rate, like the question became like, what are you even experiencing when you play a Melee game? And it is literally like army men. You're like the villain is always a hand. Like at the very end of it, when you get to when you play the story mode or whatever, you always get to the end. There's like this hand that's organizing things, and it's always like as the series progresses. Not only are you watching a child play with toys, you're watching the child get older as they play with toys, and the hands become so haphazard with their doing stuff. And then by the end of it, they're actually very elegant. And it's supposed to be this like that at least that was the breakdown that I was being told, was like it's supposed to be this Toy Story like thing where it's. You get to the point where you're older and you can't play with these toys anymore, but they still, like, mean something to you. You kind of feel something for it. So you're watching him, like, literally with a kid with a toy chest that has rudimentary books, and then by the end of it, it's like, oh, man, this is, like, the kid from Toy Story getting off to college. And it's like, you have to stop playing the games.
So what I'm hearing is that the next Smash Brothers game is going to be a garage sale.
Yes, precisely.
It's going to be a shop game.
Yeah, and it's like these you know, they have no real life, and yet they're clinging to it.
Hmm.
You know?
So interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting and fascinating.
Also out on the Switch, came out on the 25th, Fate Extella, The Umbral Stars. Overcooked.
Great name, explains everything.
Indeed. Overcooked came out on the Switch on the 27th. Have you guys heard of Overcooked? Like, this is a pretty popular little
indie game. Wait,
can I
take
game.
A guess right now?
Please.
Is it what we were waiting for from No More Heroes 2? Is it the cooking game as an actual game?
It is a cooking game. And there is time management, like that mini game No More Heroes 2. What it is you're basically...
Is it like Burger Time? Do I get to walk across things and then they fall down?
Well, what it
is... Do you cook it wrong and somebody goes, tastes like shit, and throws a fork at your face?
I don't know if there's fork thrown, but there are... You do have to, like... You're basically...
Ruined it already.
Doing, like... It's a multiplayer game. I think it's, like, stressed to be a multiplayer game, even though I think there is single-player
stuff.
Oh, I
know this game.
Oh, but
yeah, you're
a restaurant. You gotta divide up tasks.
Yeah.
Who's doing what?
Yeah, I have seen this.
So this one actually might be a fun one to do during a game night sometime.
Yeah.
Because...
You chop the onions.
Right. There's like a person who's got to like do the prep work, and a person who's doing cooking, and then you got to do dishes and stuff. Uh-huh. So there's a lot of different things going on in this game. And
it's like the front of the house. Where I just had to see people at tables.
We're just going to have flashbacks from Steak and Shake.
Well, I think this one might be a fun one to play.
Number 4!
Because...
Your card's been declined.
Oh, we got a runner! Get him! Get him!
Because, much like Affordable Space Adventures,
John,
I think this might be a really fun game just to
troll.
John,
we got another drunk guy passed down the booth.
I don't care. Let him go. Who cares? So this one might be worth a shot at some point here. Talk about it on a mini show. Namco Museum came out on the Switch on the 28th, and Miitopia came out on the 3DS on the 28th. There we go. New releases. Done.
Yeah. 3DS.
Still kicking, you know?
Miitopia.
Yeah. I've not heard good things, but actually...
As you told me, people are, like, currently digging the grave of the DS. Even Nintendo faithful are just like, please stop.
Prematurely.
Just let it die.
Well, you know...
It's in pain. Let it go.
They say that now, but Metroid is coming in September, and then Pokemon in November, you know?
Fair point.
There's, the quality of software has... The 3DS has had such a great run. A really fantastic library. We're getting to the point where the games that are coming out are, you know, okay. But we're going to get Metroid, and that's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get whatever the next installment of Pokemon is, like whatever form. Because I don't think we know yet. Like, if this is, like, an enhanced version, like a Crystal or a special edition Yellow version to Sun Moon. Mm-hmm. Or if there's, like, an actual sequel, like Black 2, White 2. So
that's one thing it is.
Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon? Maybe.
I
would hope so. Because why would you do an enhanced version of both? You know? That wouldn't make much sense.
But here's my question. I never played Black, White, and...
Black 2, White 2?
Yeah, I never played those.
Mm-hmm.
How did it start? Did you just give you the three starters again? Like, here, pick one?
Yeah, it started just as any Pokemon, like, but you start in a different area.
Same three Pokemon you have a choice to?
Right.
Damn it.
Like, why would they...
Well, let's mix it up. Let's get creative here. Here's a three-form fighting type and a three-form... Get creative here.
Or, like, here's a Bulbasaur, a Piplup, and a Chimchar. Take one of them. Mix up the generations.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Anyway.
But mix up the types. Like, I'm sick of seeing those three as the starter choices.
We've been complaining about that for 6 years.
No, but still...
Well, they're trying to help you by giving you, say, a grass... Fighting, and then what was it? A fire psychic and a water dark?
Yeah, they mixed it up
a little bit. It's all about the second pairing that's supposed to reinforce the main pairing.
Which the water one, you just used it as a water.
I thought that in Gen.
Who cares?
It was Gen 6 in XY. You had the grass fighting, you had the fire psychic.
Yeah, and the water dark.
The water dark. I thought that would have been interesting if they sort of reversed that. Because it's still the same triangle going in the same direction. Like with the primary types and the secondary types are going the same way. I thought it would be interesting if they reverse it. Like you have the primary types that are effective, but then
the secondary types should have been the psychic.
Yeah, I feel like
so
water
sort of
psychic.
Like if it's still grass fighting, that means grass advantage, but disadvantage on fighting.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought it would be kind of fun. Anyway.
Yeah.
Topic for a different show. Should we talk about what's coming out in August? We've been going for an hour. Oh yeah, let's take a break. We haven't taken a break yet. Let's take a break and then come back.
Woo!
With games coming out in August.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. We've been going for about an hour, so I'm not going to read the Nintendo descriptions this time. Because they know. They know any one of them. So I've got games coming out in August. The
Umbral contains umbrals.
Oh, now I'm really curious.
You going to look this up?
Yeah.
All right, all right.
What's the website you go to?
Nintendo.com, just their website. And I'll tell you the names
of
the
games. Whoa, one more time. What is this scary website?
I will tell you the names of the games. You look at the description. Me and Ryan will vamp for a minute. We'll delay for you so you can pull
can
up the
you,
descriptions.
You've got the paper in front of you. What was that game again?
What's the game?
The first game we're going to talk about is Flip Wars. It is for Switch. It is coming out on August the 10th.
Sponsored by Solo Cops.
Flip Philadelphia. What a great episode. Anyway, so the game I was talking about before is called Fate/Extella, the Umbral Star. And it's a game that me and Wes have talked about a couple times before. Yeah. It's like a Musou, like Dynasty Warriors style game. It's based on an anime, according to Wes. I didn't look it up. I'm trusting Wes's word on this one.
I don't know what way it is. The anime came after the game,
right?
The other way around.
Right, so not necessarily an anime, but like some sort of transmedia property.
I don't know what's going on with this thing.
Yeah. It's technically a chain of fast food restaurants in Japan.
Okay, so do you have the description?
I got Flip Wars.
Okay, so this is a game. This one used to be called like Project Makuru. It was like in a Nintendo Direct that we watched a few months ago. It's the butt-stomping game where you flip the tiles.
Oh, right.
Anyway, so you got the description. Take us away.
Prepare to flip over this multiplayer action game.
Oh, God damn
it.
Stop right now. No more.
Clever.
Flipadelphia.
This tense multiplayer action game will have you stomping to flip over panels and unwitting opponents. To win, flip the most panels to your color in local battles online or single player. The more you flip, the faster you're moving in a mad
just
dash
them
to
all
net.
By yourself.
Increase your flip range, turn invincible, and move across 3 modes in 12 arenas. Compete alone or against up to 3 players.
Good. They didn't establish that.
To see who's best at each mode.
Are we at bullet points yet?
Almost.
Okay.
Flip the most panels before time runs up in panel battle, knock out the most opponents in time battle, or outlast your rivals in life battle. All 12 arenas have 4 layouts to choose from. Some contain hazards like panel flipping buttons, beam cannons, and waves so beautiful they truly stun competitors. Oh my god. So many puns in this.
I know, it's painful.
Learn the art of the flip with tutorials and try to hand out achievements.
No. Do they really say there's tutorials as a feature?
Yep.
Fuck's sake. God damn it.
When you're ready to compete, jump into an online battle or a private room with friends via local wireless. No matter how you play, it's time to think fast and pull off the ultimate color scheme. Oh my god. 4 bullet points. Here we go. Flip over panels and opponents until your color dominates the arena.
Oh god. Yes.
Wow. 12 arenas, each with 4 selectable layouts, some containing hazards like beam cannons and waves that stun all competitors.
Son of a bitch.
God. Oh my god.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad it is
the best bullet point right here.
Yes.
Learn the basics of panel flipping strategy with tutorials.
Oh.
I feel like the tutorials probably have a difficulty mode.
It's like, we're going to do the hard tutorial.
Oh my god.
And the last...
I'm so glad we didn't skip this.
And the last... Play against others via random online battles or local wireless.
God damn it.
This sounds like that game, I don't remember what it's called, but it's like you got white and black things. And
Othello.
Flip. Yeah.
Sure.
Is this off like Othello? It sounds
it's,
like it.
It seems like it, yeah. Because you're trying to get like board domination by like butt slamming into the board.
Yeah.
Wes, the next game is going to be Sonic Mania, so I expect that to be great as well. But this game...
The one where Sonic just snaps one day.
But that would probably be a better game.
It's just Sonic going through office buildings with guns.
He's wearing Tails' skin with a cloak. So, like, this Flip Wars game, I'm pretty sure it's like a downloadable eShop game only. I'm positive about that. But I can't imagine.
So I can't not go to my local GameStop and not buy it?
Right. Like this, it might be like a fun distraction for a game night one time, but I can't imagine we get more than like 10 minutes out of it. We're like, all right, what else? Let's go back to Overcooked or some shit.
Don't put money into this.
I can't see it like having that much depth to it.
Yeah.
But, John, it has tutorials.
it will teach me the depth, yes.
It will teach you how to do this.
At first, I thought tutorials were a waste of time. Then I realized it was a feature.
Did I talk about the options menu? Is that a feature?
Rebinding controls.
You can pause. All right, Wes, take us away. Sonic Mania coming to the Switch on August the 15th.
Sonic Mania brings fans back into the 2D world of platform games with nostalgic pixel style, art, and core classic, quotation marks, classic gameplay by reimagining...
Are they being ironic about it? Why is classic in quotes?
It's in quotes. Classic.
Classic. Like, it wasn't really good. We just mean old.
Well, you actually, I mean, hey... Usually, you have and many times in the past complained that you like the pixel art. So
sure,
you're like,
yeah.
Hey, here's some service for you, buddy. Enjoy your pixels.
So the time Sonic was good.
Yeah.
I think that's even debatable.
Yeah.
Was Sonic ever good? I'm not so sure.
I think it was fine.
Like Hey Pikmin? Like, was it okay or was it okay?
I think it was okay.
Yeah, see, there's a distinction.
Let's
there
include
is.
A lot of beautiful, detailed sprite art and then make you go so fast you cannot appreciate it.
Then say the entire point is to go fast, but then put random spike walls directly in your path.
Oh, good idea.
let's force you to stop.
Oh, and some springs, why not? Let's kill momentum springs.
Yep, let's do that. But that's great design.
Yeah.
Gameplay by reimagining iconic zones and acts from Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Sonic CD, and Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Knuckles. And adding in completely new zones with new acts and boss fights into the mix. Bullet points.
Okay.
3.
As so many memories.
Tutorials.
All those memories.
Tutorials. Features. A true classic Sonic experience in gorgeous pixel graphics. Featuring a variety of new zones with iconic favorites from Sonic 1, 2, 3, and CD. Playable characters include Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles.
Oh.
Wonderful.
The core crew.
New and improved features. Familiar zones with new locks, new bosses, new gameplay mechanics, and to explore, and more.
Great.
Alright, that was...
Hard pass. No, thank you.
Yeah, we're good.
Alright, Wes, the next one is going to be... Culdcept Revolt.
What the frick?
Culdcept.
Oh, I did it with an S.
Huh. The concept? Culdcept?
This one's probably like the most obscure one on this. This is coming to the 3DS on August the 29th.
Is it like one word?
Yeah, Culdcept. Culd.
Oh, okay.
Revolt. But this was like... the most Japanese game on the list because it's
I'm not finding it.
I don't even know how to describe it. Here, let me see.
I'm like not listening to you and typing in nonsense.
Oh, yeah, I see what you did. You put Culdcept when it's called the U.
Oh,
that's okay. We're gonna get this. There it is.
That wasn't paying attention.
Bye, Ryan.
Bye, Ryan. I miss you already.
All right, take us away, Wes.
As the Culdcept series celebrates its 20th anniversary, I've never even heard of this.
It rarely makes it to the US.
Alright. The addictive card game means board game is back. Oh my god, that sounds so boring.
It sounds like Sonic Shuffle.
Bigger and better than ever with hundreds of new cards, inventive boards, and exciting multiplayer. Follow Alan. The most boring protagonist.
Follow Paul. It's Rick.
A new recruit for the Rebel Free Bat Forces as you fight for freedom from the tyranny of Count Krannis. Build your deck, create new strategies, and dominate the board in Culdcept Revolt. With all the classic element veterans love yet a gentle... I butchered
that
words.
God, that one got away
words.
From you.
I just...
Try it again. We'll fix it in the post.
Who's Sharna?
with all the classic elements veterans love, yet a gentle learning curve for newcomers. Coldstep Revolt is the best Coldstep yet.
I can't disprove that.
Sure, I'll take your word for it. Addictive fantasy gameplay. Jump into a match and lose yourself in a world of monsters, magic, and strategy. As you navigate the board and summon monsters on your way to victory in this fast-paced card-collecting fantasy.
Cool.
Near endless strategy. Collect over 400 unique cards. This is like legit bullet points. This is nothing... Customize your experience. All right, who cares?
I don't know how the card gameplay works. It sounds like it's like a board game mixed with a Hearthstone, because they're talking about like deck building or like a Yu-Gi-Oh or a Magic
thing. It's like adding cards to Dokkaebon Kingdom.
That actually would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
But you know, this one comes out tail end of August. I don't know, if it'd be nice if there was like a demo of this or something.
That would be nice for this type of game because this is so.
It's hard to understand. Like, that's hard to grasp what it is.
You can't even if they show you like screenshots of it, I mean, it's just a board with cards. You're not going to get the idea of the game from
sure.
it. This is something you need to actually try out before you just, all right, here's my money.
Actually, I started playing a game that was interesting called Sentinels of the Multiverse. Which is a really weird...
What? Stand by. Wes, the next one is Mario plus Rabbids. Continue. Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a PC game. When they did the Steam Summer Sales, somebody made this... And then this guy, Total Biscuit, he's this British dude that does video game reviews. And he made this great list where he's like, here's 20 amazing games you can get for under $5. And these are all just games that can give you 100 hours of gameplay if you feel so inclined. But one of the ones that he brought up was called Sentinels of the Multiverse. And I was like, what the fuck is this? It's a really obscure title. And it is... It's like Hearthstone, but you're making a comic book, if that makes sense. Yeah, you actually have like a supervillain and you have superheroes. And... You get cards for them, but every card that you're playing is technically a panel in a comic.
Okay.
So you're playing through this big story arc about how you and your group of heroes are going to bring down this bad guy. And then at the end of it, you have a full comic book you can read, like a story that tells how the fight really played out. And it is literally things like, you know, you tried to attack him with your... you know, half robot guy, and it didn't go according to plan, and he took damage from doing so, and then your healer came in and brought him back to life, or something like that. I don't know. It just plays out like a fun story. I thought it was really clever take. Oh, the other thing is, like, if you're playing Hearthstone, your typical Hearthstone match, even with like against another person who's taking time deciding what they're going to do, usually, like, 10-15 minutes long. I did not play a single fight that lasted less than an hour.
Oh, wow.
Where it's a lot of, like, decision-making and, like, worrying about how these characters' moves are going to interact, especially if it's your first time playing the game, you know.
Oh, that's really interesting, because, like, each card battle, like, becomes its own story.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're really crafting an actual comic book that you can kind of read when you're done with the fight. Winner or lose.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Are there, like specific sort of mission, like are is multiplayer or like this like a single player thing where you're like fighting like specifically built decks?
There is a multiplayer, and there's a multiplayer where it's you versus somebody else, and it's a multiplayer where you're co-op, which is interesting.
Okay.
But the way that I was playing was just against, and by the way, your opponent is a true supervillain, like a true insanely powered boss. And it's pretty cool, too, because there's also a... I forget what the term they use for it. There is sort of, like, a main space that would be sort of used for... not your minions, but just, like, random things that can happen. It's sort of like... you could be going up against this evil scientist that's been breeding dinosaurs, and he throws these dinosaurs onto the middle of the map. And if you want to get to him, you got to get through these dinosaurs first. And every time it's his turn, he's constantly doing something that just... will just... You feel like you made so much progress. It's like, I'm getting it, you motherfucker. And he's like, by the way, lightning bolts and healing myself for twice as much damage as you just did. And it's like, God damn you, you asshole. But then, like, the game plays on, and it's fun. And it's team building, too. So it's sort of like, yeah, you got a guy on your team that's going to be like the Flash, or he's super quick but really soft. But then you've got your freaking tank out there, someone's meant to actually take a beating. And then you've got a caster, and you've got a team leader who...
And is this...
It's called Sentinels of the Multiverse, and it's really fun. And you've got a bench of dozens of superheroes to pick from. You've got a nice selection. They are there are much fewer villains than there are heroes, because the villains are even more like powerful and complex.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have a ton of villains. I feel like, you know, you could spend game after game just trying to master one of them, because they do really unexpected things that, again, are all... It plays so intuitively, like a comic book, where, like, they do something, and it's not like, oh, I gotta worry about, you know, this move that he's got. It's just sort of like he summons something that makes sense within the story. It's like he or she has a motive, something they're trying to do, and you're trying to stop them. And then they play something that just kind of helps them. I'm being very vague, but yeah, it's really fun. It's a clever take on Hearthstone that is much more like long-winded. It takes a while to beat.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
This is a little long.
Wes, take us away.
There's a lot of bullet points with this one.
Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. I'm looking forward to the bullet points.
Okay. This is the story of an unexpected encounter between Mario and the irreverent Rabbids. The Mushroom Kingdom has been torn apart by a mysterious vortex, transporting the Rabbids into the once peaceful area, splintering this beloved land. To bring order back into the kingdom, Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, and Yoshi team up with Rabbids heroes in a journey throughout four different worlds. Join these eight heroes to explore a new world twisted by mischievous Rabbids, filled with secrets and nods to classic Mario games, outwit unpredictable enemies in dynamic turn-based combat and co-op challenges, and solve puzzles along the way. Discover a feel-good and modern combat adventure designed exclusively for the Nintendo Switch system, playable anywhere, anytime, with anyone. An epic journey starring eight heroes. Bullet points.
Here we go.
First set of bullet points.
Oh.
There's a couple of different sets, and they each have their own label, like,
titles.
So the first one is an epic journey starring eight heroes. Embark with your team of heroes on an epic quest to free your friends and put the Mushroom Kingdom back in order. Good.
How many worlds?
Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Yoshi will join forces with four rabbit heroes, each with their own unique personalities. Boastful Rabbid Mario, fearful Rabbid Luigi, sassy Rabbid Peach, and off-his-rocker Rabbid Yoshi.
Off-his-rocker?
I think it's time to put Yoshi down if he's rabbid. I
think
that's what it means.
I think you just said uppity bitch.
Uppity bitch,
Rabbid
Peach. That's what it is. What the heck? It's terrible. Explore four iconic...
I like how, like...
really captured their personalities.
What was the Yoshi one? Office?
Off his rocker.
Off his rocker.
Oh,
totally.
Off his. I thought he said office.
No.
Like off his
rocker. Like, that's crazy.
He's
the
guy in the office.
Like, this dude's nuts.
Like Mario.
Yoshi's like your dog of this game, and he's rabbit.
Mm.
Put the fucker down.
It's
he's
weird.
Gonna hurt the children.
I think the Yoshi rabbit one that you just described there is probably the most unlike the original's personality. Like, Yoshi's not really like insane or anything, but like the other ones are just more, except for like Luigi, just like more extreme versions of the original's personality.
They call fearful
Rabbid Luigi.
But see, that's
a coward.
That's
Luigi
just,
is not a coward.
Oh, he certainly is.
Oh my god,
Luigi is such a
ghost in that mansion all the time.
He is afraid of everything.
Yeah, that's not very fair though. And yeah, like, Yoshi, there's a whole game dedicated to him managing a child. Managing an infant.
Is that the sort of creature you want, rescuing your babies?
Yeah. Is that truly off his rocker? He's keeping an infant from dying?
Next set.
What qualifies as off his rocker? Is he jumping off Mario to save himself?
That would be fun.
Or is it more like, you know, Grandpa in the supermarket just keeps pointing things down?
Is he like senile? Senile Yoshi is.
Fuck you, Sonny.
Please, continue bullet points.
Mario and his friends will use never-before-seen weapons to engage in combat with their foes. With an arsenal of more than 250 weapons.
Oh, shit.
With
all right.
Unique statistics.
They're not messing around.
Specificities.
Okay. Fair enough.
Players will choose how to best to equip each of their eight heroes. Holy hell. Turn-based
that's
gameplay.
That's impressive.
It's like,
turn-based gameplay allows players to take the time they need to position their heroes and unleash their actions.
Well, see, that's the thing, is like actually learning more about the combat in this game. Like, most people are comparing it to XCOM. Like, really? It's XCOM with Mario. Yeah.
You're fucking kidding me. That's cool.
Play additional co-op challenges with a friend in local multiplayer, featuring 3 levels of difficulty. Share a pair of Joy-Con controllers to use your Nintendo Switch Pro controllers. Or use your... That just sounds dirty.
Okay.
Share a Joy-Con.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I don't explain that. I don't understand.
Yeah, just, you know, Joy-Con. Uh-huh. Just...
I don't know.
It's
don't
a penis, it. John. It's a penis.
Oh, okay, got it.
All right, next group. Mm-hmm. A fresh Mario experience. Discover the Mushroom Kingdom like you never have before, twisted by the mischievous rabbits.
Deja vu.
Experience a feel-good adventure filled with humor, epic music, vibrant animations, and colorful visuals powered by the Snowdrop engine.
Oh.
Next group. Cool. Designed for Nintendo Switch. A game as appealing in handheld mode as on your TV screen. Play everywhere and even on the go, thanks to the short game sessions.
Play underwater.
Unlock new in-game play features with your Amiibo figures. All right, that's it. I don't know.
That's interesting. So
yeah.
It's turn-based tactical...
Right.
XCOM stuff?
With over 250 different weapons.
That sounds all right.
Oh, and they're rabbits, but they're like dressed like the Mario version.
Yeah, they're cosplay.
Like, it's a rabbit in drag. For Peach.
Well, we don't know that. That might be a lady rabbit.
No.
For all we know, they're all lady rabbits.
You see a little bit of a set of balls there.
It's pretty bulge clear. In the waist area.
So, I mean,
this looks really nice.
Coming out the tail end of August on the 29th. I think this is like the big like attraction for the month. Like, that's the game that they're pushing there.
You're going to get Orange John.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm interested. These XCOM games are fucking addictive, man. Mm-hmm. They're so fun.
So it'll be cool to see. Like you mentioned, there's like 4 different worlds.
Yeah.
See how much there is to this game. Because I think by the end of August, I'll probably be ready for like a more like focused single-player game. Because like last month was ARMS... And then this month is Splatoon. We probably played a lot of Splatoon in August.
Hmm. Well, that's a lot of direct PvP stuff you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of turn-taking tactical decision stuff.
It's true.
250 weapons.
God
damn.
Just tell me which 4 are the best. I'll just roll with those.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, I think that is it that I wanted to get through for this show. So next up is the Pokemon show.
That'll the Poke Show.
Wonderful.
What are we doing?
There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot that happened with Pokemon Go since the last time we did a podcast.
Going big.
There's
actually so much stuff talking about Pokemon Go.
Just real brief, what is it? Just tell me, I have no idea.
There's that event and now there's Legendaries.
Yeah, new gym system, Legendaries are out.
Legendaries are out?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Articuno and Lugia currently. Yeah, they totally revamped the gem system, which is awesome. There's new berries, new items. I mean, you have rare candies now in the game, which is kind of a neat thing. If you're...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they've done it a lot. There was a great article I just read where I think it's like Forbes or something. It was so funny. The great title where it was like, a year after its release... Pokemon seems ready to release. Because people constantly bitch about this game so hard, and yet this is fantastic. It's a great update. We'll talk about it on the Pokemon show.
Cool.
And then I've been playing some Heart Gold.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun to talk about, because I discovered, I was telling you guys before the show, I discovered a save file that I had from over a year ago. And I don't even remember if I talked about that one on the show or not, but I discovered the save. I was like, oh my god, I have all this really great shit I can mess around with.
True.
And then we'll do the mini show and the Super Nintendo show and wrap it all up with the official show at the end of August. So, till next time, everybody.
So long.
Later.